Thanks, bud. Good evening, everybody. Or is it still afternoon? Yeah, I'm never sure when we get to this part of the day. But super nice to be here. And Carl, to you and the team, thank you so much for allowing us to come through. I imported some bodyguards. You can see Kevin and Kerry and their kids. They came along to join us. And so it's wonderful to have them with us here. And if I need help, I'll call on you guys. Eh? Can I ask you a favor? Can you open that for me? Thanks. All right, so Pam, I just really want to honor you tonight. And I know that we don't know you well, but we have seen you around so often and you've had time to chat with the ladies and that. But I really, as we were worshiping, I just felt like I needed to honor you. And I want to say thank you for running your race the way that you do. You're an incredible example to this group of people in the way that you run for the Lord, and you just love the Lord, and you've just been such a faithful servant of the Lord. And while I was sort of processing that, I actually felt I needed to encourage the congregation. You guys are going to need run a little bit faster if you want to catch Pam. She really is somebody that has set, I think, a wonderful example for many of us of what it is to just love the Lord and to serve the Lord and to keep going for the things of God. And I just felt I needed to honor you publicly. Yeah. So this afternoon, how much time have I got? I know guys go to work tomorrow morning, what, about 7:30? Hey? No, okay, no. Nobody can fall out windows. No, we won't go that long. All right. Okay, so this evening, I'm going to be sharing on a topic which... It's something that, as I've been preparing it, I think one of the things I've realized over the years is you can get up and you can preach a message, but I find often that when you preach a message, what happens with me is the Lord goes, okay, is it? Let's see how you handle this tomorrow. And so I'm very, very nervous when I get up and prepare these messages because I realize that if the Lord hasn't started working with me, I can be sure of this, it's coming. All right. So what I want to title this talk this evening, it's called You Are Chosen. And this is in line with very much along the lines of focusing on the heart of the Father. And I think this is something that he wants to mine into some of our lives. So I want to ask the question, how many of you remember in your younger days, your school days, when we used to have those games where they used to have a group of people and then they would pick, say, oh, Carlo, why don't you come up here and we'll get you up here and I want you to pick people for your side. Have you ever had that? Now, how many of you were like me? I was always the last guy standing. And the thing was, the poor person that was last to choose had to pick me. How many of us can relate to that? How many of us can relate to the topic of where sides are picked and actually you just get left out entirely? No explanation given and you get left on the sideline. And so I think when I look at this picture, I think for many of us what has happened is We've grown up throughout our lives where these experiences have actually impacted our lives more than we actually realize. And it's actually shaped and formed something in us as to how we see ourselves, how we think others see ourselves. And what happens is we put that onto God. And we struggle to see ourselves the way that God sees us. And so what happened fairly recently through the power through position that we did as a bunch of leaders, one of the things that really stood out for me doing it the second time was this voice that kept on whispering in my ear, you're useless, you're a failure, you're not going to amount to anything. And this is a constant bombardment, and it's happened over the years. And the more I've pondered on it, and I've realized, as I've been thinking about it, I realize this is much of what stemmed from my past through circumstances and things that have happened in my life. And it formed and fashioned and shaped me. And I realized this is why God is so kind, that over a period of time, he's busy working in my life, and he's busy working through my life, and he's busy cutting away the stuff that really impacts me so that I can see him differently. But the thing is, for many of us, much of our lives are shaped because of the lies that we believe. The words that have been spoken over us. Some of the circumstances that we have found ourselves in have fashioned and shaped us, and we've believed those things and we've settled with that because the voice of the demonic forces whispering in our ears has actually been louder than the Lord's. And I feel like God wants to come and break something off our lives. So what I've done tonight is I'm trying to use something of my own life. And I want to say to you today that I have not got this thing waxed because I'm 56 years old. I know I don't look a day older than 35. Thank you very much. But it's been a process of God just working and undoing certain things in my life. So I want to give you some thoughts around just some of my own story, you know, how I grew up in a home where my parents were divorced when I was around about 5 or 6 years old. And it was a messy divorce. So as I share, I want you to please understand, I'm not wanting to dishonor in any way, but the truth be told. How this impacted me from a young age, that it absolutely had a massive influence on my life, that even by the age of 30, when I got to the age of 30, where God actually had to break into my life and nearly cost me my marriage. But what had happened was much of what I grew up with was a lot of fighting in the home. There was a lot of fighting. Both my parents got remarried, and in my mom's home, there was a lot of fighting between her and my stepdad. There was a lot of infighting. There were stepchildren. There were half-brothers, and the list went on. But then on top of that, the fighting would be between my mom and my dad, and it was never peaceful. But one of the things I will say about my dad, he never dishonored my mom over the years. But the reality was, as time went by, there was a constant bombardment, because I think I was a reminder of the pain and the mistake that I was, because my mom actually had me before wedlock, or out of wedlock, should I say, and actually intended to abort me. And I didn't know that until I got to the age of 30. But when I suddenly heard that, I could start to understand and realize, but sure, now this is starting to make sense, that actually already in the womb there was rejection. And so automatically what happens is you start to live your life in a particular way because of these influences, and they are real. And so with that, I went through a journey where words that were spoken over me, I always used to say to people, rather punch me in the face because I know that 2 or 3 days later I will be okay. But words that get spoken over you, like you will never amount to much, you're a disappointment, or you're useless. In my matric year, got to my matric year, and I had an altercation with my sister, and my mom and I had an altercation with each other, and she said, oh, I just wish you would go and live with your dad. And you know what? That's exactly what I did. I packed my bags, and I moved from Cape Town to Johannesburg to go and stay with my dad. And it was at that given point, without me realizing, when I look back, it was a very key moment in my life. And so sadly, as time has gone by, all of a month ago when we're sitting through Power Through Position, I'm navigating a process where I'm having to deal with some challenges with my mom. Even while I was at Power Through Position, my mom was sending me a message out of the blue of just total disappointment. But let me tell you something, the news gets good. Because while I was sitting there on the second day that we had Power Through Position, the guys asked, is there anybody that would like to share a testimony? I sat there and I thought, I just received a message today. My mom sent it to me midday, and this message has not impacted me one iota. And that's when I realized the Lord had healed me. So this afternoon, what I want to do, and I think this is so important for us, is that we need to realize that we are in a battle. And there are things that have happened in your life. There are circumstances. There are words that have been spoken over you. Whether it's from your parents. Maybe you were in a divorce. Maybe things went horribly wrong. Can I say to you today, there is hope. And I'm going to give you something which I hope will be helpful for you. Because we need to know that the enemy does not fight clean. He is out to kill, steal, and destroy you. And I feel like that's for individuals here. But I also want to say, corporately, if God can incapacitate you, not God, the devil, sorry, can incapacitate you, he will do so. And I feel like the Lord wants to break that this evening. So, how did I deal with this over the years? And so, I want to read this scripture. I haven't given for the team at the back, but this is scripture that I want to read in 2 Corinthians 10. From verses 3, it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments, the whispers in our heads, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So the first thing for you and I, as Christ followers, is to get to a place that no matter what your circumstances are, you bring it to Jesus. If you want victory in this area of your life, you bring it to Jesus. You can't rely on others. You got to get on your knees before the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm desperate. I need your help here." And you bring it to him. And I want to show you how the Lord has encouraged me. So this scriptures I'm using were personal and I hope will encourage you as we look at being chosen by God. So Isaiah 41 verses 9 and 10, if we can put that up. Says, "I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you and I have not rejected you.' So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." All of last year, January, I was on contract in the Josh Jen story. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I was in the Netherlands at the end of January. My contract was coming to an end, and I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen. At that given time, I was saying, "Lord, where to now?" I was wondering, am I coming back? Am I going to have to go back into the workplace, continue leading? What was the story going to be? And then the Lord gave me this scripture to hold on to. And over the weekend that I was there, my contract actually came through that brought me on actually full-time in the story. And the Lord was just confirming. He says, "I have chosen you. I've called you to be my servant." Now, it's important that when we look at the scripture, that you don't take it out of its context. There was a battle that the Israelites had found themselves in. They had been exiled, and so they were facing some serious challenges. But what we do need to know is that the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament and is the same God today that walks with us. Therefore, we can go back into these truths and we don't word for word and verbatim take it for ourselves like some people take Jeremiah 29:11 and put it on themselves. But what we remind ourselves, it's the same God that is at work in us today that worked in the Old Testament. And so the beautiful thing is, when we read that word, he says, "I have called you." And those that are sitting here this evening, God has called you. He has chosen you as a servant to serve his purposes. And the beautiful thing that he comes with, he says to you, "I want you to trust me." And he wants to encourage you as people that are walking with him. And then he says, "I've chosen you and I have a purpose in mind for you." And he says, "And I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Those are the things that we need to remind ourselves that when we are in difficult spaces or you feeling like, "Do I belong here?" Can I say to you, settle it tonight, because if God didn't want you here, you wouldn't be here tonight. Does this make sense for you? So, you know, for me, the constant bombardment of the enemy, because he knows my weaknesses, "Oh, Ants, you're going to get overlooked," or "This is going to happen," or "That's going to happen."
You know what? It was easier for me to get over pornography than it was this. But each one of us will have our Achilles heel, our battle constantly in our lives. And we need to come back to these truths and hold to these truths. Don't go for 20 truths. Go for one or two that you can hold on and make your own. The second thing is, so firstly with that, God's choice and assurance for his people. That's what we need to know tonight. The second thing that we're going to look at is in John 15, verses 16, that we are commissioned, we are chosen for a purpose. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Tonight, you'd need to know that when God chooses you and he gives you a task and he appoints you to go and do something with that. Your coming into this context and being a part of this body was God's choice in this day and this generation, and he's given you a task to fulfill. And God's desire and heart is that you would be a fruitful individual. That's in aspects of his character, aspects of his nature, but could I also suggest that it's aspects of others getting to hear the gospel in and through your life, and that through your lives, God will add people into this work. He's on the move. And I feel like even while we were worshiping, I feel like I need to say to the leaders, you can expect God to start adding more and more people to yourselves. Because that's the heart of God. He's got you here, but if you activate and you believe this truth, that you are here and he's chosen you to be fruitful, that he will honor his word. The next scripture that I want to bring for us is that when God chooses you and he gives you a purpose, there's a scripture that I want to use to back this up. Ephesians 2 verses 10. Look at this. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So furthermore, not only has he chosen you to be fruitful, but he looks at you and he says, you are my workmanship. Don't let anybody tell you anything different about how I see you. You are precious in my sight. God doesn't make junk. In fact, God takes junk and he turns it into something special, because how many of you know people that love refurbishing old motor cars? They see the old motor car and they see the potential in it. And what do? They transform that car into something that is spectacular in its original state. And this is the kindness and the beauty of God as he works with you and I. You and I are his workmanship. And we are a work in progress. And it's a beautiful thing. It takes time until he comes or we are released to go and be with him. I want to encourage you tonight. Do not treat yourselves or others with disrespect as an inferior work. When you look at the person in this room, each person has a story. You can never compare, but God is at work. And that person next to you, on the left or right, in front or behind you, has been chosen by God. And we need to honor that. Look at John 15, verses 19. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. This is the beautiful thing about God. In my own life, when I look at the story of the Lord, I need to tell you that when I look at God and how he's worked with me, I'm the only one in my family that got saved. 3 years ago, 3 weeks before my sister died, I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord. Because I've come out of carnage. But God handpicked me, I don't know why, out of my whole family, to hear the gospel and to respond to the good news of Jesus saving me, because I messed up and I needed saving. And when I got that realization, God was able to move powerfully in my life. It's the providence of God going on ahead. My sister rejected the Lord over the years. One of my family members, she made a cake for the wedding. And my family member is a Gothic. And she made them a wedding cake of a skull. That's where my sister was. But the beautiful thing is, the Lord handpicked me. He said, you will be different. Let me tell you, my family rejected me because we love the Lord, we love the church, and we always gave ourselves to the church. About 3 weeks before she died, the Lord opened the door, and I led her to the Lord. And I believe today that she's with the Lord. I want to say to you that God can take ordinary people, no matter what your circumstances are, and he can do extraordinary things with you if you allow him to work in you and through you. I'm not that accomplished as a preacher where I can just go for it. Sometimes I just got to come back to my notes because I go, oh, I might have missed this. That's how God works. He picks you. And if you're here tonight and you're a Christ follower, it's because he chose you. And he's going to work in you and he's going to work through you. You need to be ready for that. But there are some folk that are possibly sitting here this evening. You've been visiting for a long time. Can I suggest this? That if you live in a garage, you're not a car. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. The Lord picks these moments for you to hear the good news about how Jesus can take an ordinary life and do an extraordinary thing with it. But I want to show you something this evening as I slowly start to bring this plane down. Do you know that you were chosen before creation? Do you know that you were thought of by God before creation? Let's look at what these two scriptures teach us. Ephesians 1, verses 4. For he chose us in him, meaning in Jesus. All right? This doesn't mean that when we see it says in him, there's still a part in this journey. We still got to get saved. But God foreknew. And so he chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Then we go on to verses 11. And let's see what that says. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. When we talk about predestination, I'm not gifted and skilled enough to speak on that, but all I know is this, and how I've settled it in my heart, is that God made it possible that at some point I was allowed to hear somebody preach the gospel. There was many times people preached the gospel at school, at youth, on camps, and I ignored it, rejected it, and then at some point the gospel opened up for me and I made a decision to follow Christ. And it was always part of his plan. It was part of his will that I would get to a place that I would receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And because of Jesus, I am now in right standing with the Father. And I become a co-heir. I become a son of the Most High God. And if you're a lady, you're a daughter of the Most High God. It's according to his will, according to his purposes, that we have been chosen. And now we're getting to 10,000 feet. Look at Ephesians 2, verses 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. The beauty when we get chosen by God is that God brings you and adds you into a family. That's the beauty of where we find ourselves. That is the heart of God. that you would actually be in a space that you no longer feel like an outcast or an orphan, or that you feel that you've been overlooked. Can I suggest to you this evening that each one of you has a gift, a talent, ability, a resource, and other things that God wants to expose and raise in your lives. The young people that you're that are here tonight, I'm very encouraged by the number of young people, but you are the future of the church. God has called you into the story, and He's added you into this family, and your lives will count as much as any person that is next to you in this place. And in family, we love one another. We honor one another. We prefer one another. We look out for one another. We serve one another. We submit to one another. And the most important thing is that we actually have a sense of belonging because God has made this possible. And you know what the interesting thing is? You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. I mean, Kevin and Kerry don't have the luxury of choosing me. God chose me for them. And that's the beauty here. When God adds you into a family, you need to know that you don't have the choice of your brother and sister. He's chosen them for you. And some of them are going to get up your nose. Can you believe it? Some of them are going to get up your nose. But you know what? It's because God's allowed it. Because when they get up your nose, what happens is He shows you the areas in your life that you need to deal with. And those might be things from your past that all He does is He just takes time and then the dross gets brought to the surface. And He exposes what needs to be done. But the beautiful thing is that in family, you're safe. If we belong, we're safe. And this is a place that you will be cared for and loved and nurtured. And I can tell you right now, with Carl and Delia and the eldership team that you've got, their hearts are to make sure that you feel like you're part of a family. But I want to tell you what their hearts really are, is that actually you'll run past them. You'll run past them. And that you will run into the fullness of what God has for you. So I want to encourage you tonight, please will you enjoy this family. Please will you love on this family. Please, will you give your heart to this family, because God has chosen you specifically to be a part of this family. Amen. And then I'm coming to land. Everything hinges on one person. Let's look at 1 Peter 2, verses 6. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. Chosen and precious cornerstone. Chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Let's go to verses 9. It says, But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Why is this important? That what we are doing, it might be stating the obvious, but we really do need to believe this as the core of our being, that the foundation of the church is built on Jesus. Everything we do here is built on Jesus Christ. It's not built on people. It is built on Him. That's the only thing that will stand the test of time. But with this, and I think this has been so powerful for me, because when I see what Jesus has done for me, and yeah, it's just, you're chosen, but I want to keep those verses up. It says, you are a chosen people, but look at the benefit of being chosen. It says, you are a royal priesthood. Now we're going from chosen to additional things that God is saying about you and I. This is magnificent. You are a royal priesthood. And then he goes, collectively, you are a holy nation, a people that are set apart for the purposes of God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. And that speaks of us testifying of the greatness and the goodness of God, and how He's rescued us from hell, being brought into a place that we will live with Him for eternity. Receiving this from the Lord, when you look at those scriptures and what's in it, it's so powerful. This is God's unmerited favor that has been bestowed upon you and I. He didn't choose you because you were worthy. He didn't choose you, Carl, because you were a fast wing. didn't choose you because you could run the 100 meters in 9.5 seconds. He chose you because beforehand he knew what he was planning to do, and he chose you because it was according to his will, and he brought you in warts and all. Nothing that you did warranted it. You didn't deserve it. In fact, everything that we deserved was put on his son Jesus so that you and I could be made right with him. What love is that? That he looks at us and he goes, man, I'll pick you any day. Is there somebody here on crutches? Or maybe even in a wheelchair? Is there somebody here? Push cart? Any of those things? Yeah, I'm sure I saw somebody. Thank you. Do you know that just your being here is such an encouragement that with your situation that you are facing, ma'am, you are an encouragement that you would be here tonight, and you don't use your difficulty as a reason not to be a part of what God is doing. And let me tell you something, the Lord looks very favorably upon you with stuff like that. And he loves you. We don't use our circumstances to stay away from the things of God. You model something and you set it for people that despite the challenges that we face, Lord, I love you. I trust you. You will strengthen me. You'll give me hope and you will help me in Jesus' name. I am coming to land. I've loved this verse 9. For me, this is the power package. When I look at it and I go, thank you, God, that I'm chosen. But then the power package that comes with it, he says, Ants, you're part of royalty now. The beautiful thing is Jesus didn't look like royalty, but he was a king. We might not look like royalty, because round does come in a shape, or round is a shape, but I'm a co-heir with Jesus. So, you need to know that you are God's special possession, and that with that, your role and task is to glorify him, to share the gospel, to reach out to others, because he's given you an incredible, incredible opportunity, not only picking you, but now to serve him. So what does this look like for you tomorrow? And that's a good question, Edgemead PM. When you leave here tonight, what does this look like for you? You don't need to go out and prove yourself anymore. You don't need to go and do things to be accepted by people in the world or anything like that, because actually you're chosen by God and he will work his good plan in and through you according to his will and purpose. You live from a place of acceptance, not for it. Any temptation and whispers that come into your mind like, oh, well, that preacher was okay tonight. But you know what? You've still got to go home and face your realities. Shut it down tonight. Shut it down tonight. God has given you the authority to break the stranglehold of the enemy over your lives. All you got to do is activate your faith and bring the truth of his word into the situation and counteract the lies of the enemy. And if you are still struggling and you're still battling, go and find one of your comm leaders, your deacons or your elders, or speak to somebody that you know that will give you what you need to hear in this context and say, I'm battling in this area. Can you pray with me? Can you help me? So I want to encourage you tonight, as you go out this place tonight, remember that you're chosen by God. You're called to live differently. You hold on to those truths and you have all that you need to counteract the lies of the enemy. And as I close with this, the scriptures spoke of us being chosen before creation. There might be people here this evening that are visiting and you've been visiting for a while. I don't know if you've given your life to Jesus. But I want to say to you that when we read these scriptures, often what people can think is when they're sitting here, they go, okay, well, I was chosen before creation. I'm part of this evening, so I'm good. Can I say to you, no, That's not what the scriptures are teaching. Tonight you need to know the heart of God. He says that if you are not in right standing with him because you haven't believed in his son Jesus, you are separated from him. But tonight he looks at you and he says, I'm choosing you. Will you come and be a part of my family? I don't know. Perhaps there's somebody here that you're saying, it is not possible that God can love me. If he knew, or these people knew, what my circumstances were really like, there's no chance that they would accept me. And God says, no, no, I'm choosing you. And I'm bringing you into a family where you will be loved and cared for, and I'm going to help you on this journey. So I'm going to ask if we can just bow our heads. And I want to just give us a moment. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight. You're visiting for a while. Maybe you're here for the very first time. And you have been overlooked in your life's journey. I want to say to you, the Lord hasn't missed you. He hasn't passed you by. And perhaps you're here and you haven't made your first decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I want to give you that opportunity tonight. Is there anybody here that says, Ants, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior tonight. I'd like to pray that prayer and receive him. I want to be one of those that are chosen. If that's you this evening, would you raise your hand? Because we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Is there anybody here that has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior? All right, we take it that everybody is saved. Then tonight, I want to encourage you that if you were afraid to put up your hand, you can come chat to myself or Carl after the meeting, one of the leaders. But now I want to end off with us this evening. Perhaps you've been living in a journey where you have been listening to the lies of the enemy. Tonight, you've heard the truth, and some of these scriptures are what we hold on to. And for some of us, we are needing to repent because we've listened to the lies rather than the truth of God. And I want to ask you tonight, and I'm going to ask you to be brave, because you know what? I'm standing because I constantly get bombarded, and there's moments where I doubt and I don't trust God. I'm being very open and honest about it. And I want to ask you, if you're in the same boat as me, and you say, Ants, tonight I need to repent, I want you to stand. Will you stand with me? It takes courage. For some of us, you're breaking the stranglehold of Satan over your life and the demonic forces. The Lord loves you. He wants to set you free. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. You're not doing this for me. I'm so tired of seeing Christians living lives that are almost substandard and secondhand. God has got so much more for you and I. And I really believe with all of my heart tonight that the Lord is going to set some of you free. Now what I'm going to ask is, with those people that are standing, I'm going to ask the people around them. I want you to please go and stand around them, and we're going to lay hands on them. I want to activate the saints here tonight. This is not a one-man show. This is all of us coming together with them. Could we stick up that first scripture while the music is playing? Ephesians 41, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 41, verses 9 and 10. When those people that are being prayed for, the hands being laid on, I want to speak this over you right now. And I want you to see the Heavenly Father looking on you right now. And he says, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners, I have called you. And I said, you are my servant. I feel like that lady over there. You are my daughter. You are my daughter. He says, I've chosen you. And I've not rejected you. Thank you, Lord. Father, would you mine into the very core of their beings this evening? Lord, would you come and heal the brokenhearted here tonight? Lord, where there's a believing of the lies and have felt so inferior, we break that off them in the name of Jesus Christ. And he says to you, do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I don't know why, but I feel for you. I feel like the Lord is saying, I've got you. The things that you have worried about in your retirement years, he says, I have got you. And I will not forsake you. You can trust me. And he says, I will help you. And he says, and I will uphold you with my strong right hand. Oh God, won't you just come and pour your spirit out over these people that have stood up this evening. And maybe there are folk, Lord, who haven't. But Lord, we know that you can touch even those people. Lord, would you come and exchange the lie with the truth now in Jesus' name. And Lord, would you bring them into freedom? Lord, would you bring them into a freedom that they've never experienced before? Lord, that tonight, the first thing that they do when the enemy comes at them, they go, I want to remind you that I've been chosen by God. And I have been commissioned by Him. And He has a plan and a purpose for my life. And through that, we'll silence those voices. And just where you are, I believe the prophetic needs to flow, and I feel like we need to just pray for these folk. And I want to really encourage you, won't you pray your best prayer over them right now in Jesus' name? Let's trust God to minister to these folk.